Thank you, Danny. Thank you, church, for being here. It's great to see you all. I am so excited that we have this opportunity, both here and through the internet, to be able to worship together. And we've been saying that now since March, because this year, as Kent pointed out, has been filled with a virus that can affect one of those trillions of cells in our bodies. And because of that, we had shutdowns in March, and we really are still, in a lot of ways, not back to full strength. We've got pews taped off, we've got folks that, you know, we have to wear masks in and out, and a lot of things still going on. And so I think you could probably score this year a failing grade if you were a teacher, right? It would probably need some summer school. It would probably need to repeat. Now, we don't want to repeat the year, but I say all that to say this. I think there's a lot of bad we could talk about today. But folks, I'm telling you, at Azalea City, we're going to end the year good. We're going to end the year positive. And I've got some good news to share with you today. In a year where we haven't seen a lot of folks come our way because, quite frankly, there aren't a lot of folks being able to get out, we've had a lot of families visiting with us throughout the time. We've had a couple families visiting with us for a while now, and these families have graciously come to us and said they're ready to identify with the Azalea City Church of Christ. They want to let you know that they are here, that they want to work, they want to help out, and I am very, very pleased that we have these two families today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to announce them, and I'm going to get them to stand up where they are. The first family is over to my left, your right. They are Wade, Peggy, and Rhett Ford. Welcome to being a part of being identified with the Azalea City Church. And then also, complete opposite ends over here, to my right, your left, we've been having Will, Megan, Jack, and DM Danily visiting with us. But now they're ready to say, hey, we're here. And so Will, lead that family and stand up. Jack, DM, where y'all at? And, hey, we got some deer hunters in that bunch. If you hadn't seen some pictures, a couple of those guys. Right, Tucker? Good day this weekend? All right, good. But, man, these are great families, and we needed that, didn't we? We need a shot in the arm of excitement. And so I appreciate y'all. I go way back with both of these families, ironically, with Wade's brother, David, and I went to Mary Montgomery together. And then I taught Megan over at Mobile Christian. And Megan, I'll just say it publicly, she was my favorite student, right? She's been wanting me to say that. So. But anyhow, I am very happy to be able to have these families with us today. This is the gift-giving season, the giving time of year. And, you know, it's probably really getting ramped up. Some of that may even start today. Maybe you've got family that'll be out of town and y'all have to get together early for those kinds of things. And so maybe that's starting today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Certainly by the end of the week, there'll be gifts and wrapping paper and bows and everything else thrown everywhere. But that's not the type of giving. Of course, we associate that with this time of year, but I also want to think about the greatest gift that we've already referenced today. Jesus Christ was born into this world, and He didn't come with a lot of hoopla, did He? He didn't come with a lot of star power, if you will. Now, don't get me wrong. What was wrapped up inside those swaddling cloths was spectacular. But He was born in a food trough, without any room for Him to lay His head. Think about that. We worry about germs today, and rightfully so. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But Jesus Christ was born and laid where where animals go and eat and slobber and everything else. But that's the Savior of the world, who was born into this world, the greatest gift ever given. given was given on that at that time so that he could grow up and at 12 years old amaze people. Then following that, we learn about him beginning his public ministry when he was baptized at 30. And for those next 3 years, as he did everything he could to change the attitudes of those disciples to be salt and light of the world. And then at the end of that time, when he had talked about his kingdom coming, he went to Calvary. And he died that cruel death, only to be buried in a borrowed tomb, but to come up from the grave and make God's plan happen. He fulfilled God's scheme of redemption by being born, by living, by dying, by resurrecting. And because of that today, we need to give Jesus. We've talked about during this series of lessons about giving ourselves to God. We can't do anything until we get self out of the way and we deny self and we give up self. We talked about giving from our resources. Maybe that's money. Maybe that's our talents. Whatever it is, we need to take, now that they belong to God, our stuff belongs to God. It always did, but we've given it back to God. We need to give that to help others. And then we talked about time. We all have time. But today, if we have Jesus, we have the greatest gift ever given. And we need to give Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. As Bubba read and Kent alluded to, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, literally the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. James 1:16 and 17, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And 2 Corinthians 9:15 very plainly says it this way, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What a gift Jesus Christ is. What a gift Jesus Christ was, and what a gift Jesus Christ will continue to be. You see, today, as we think about giving, and we think about how we should give ourselves, give our resources, give our time, we cannot leave out giving Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who is there that is going to make it possible for us. He is the one that today, as long as we are in His blood, we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. As long as that blood is cleansing us, we have hope and we have an opportunity. You see, so we live in a time, though, when there are a lot of people that have not accepted that free gift. All the verses we read, all the ways God has made possible for us to have that free gift, there are so many that reject it. There are so many that do not want that amazing gift. So in a day and time when so many do not want to give Jesus, and so many do not want to accept Jesus, how do we do it? How do we do it? Cultivating deep, steady, resilient Christian conviction is not always easy. not easy to say, nor is it easy to do. Evangelism. That's what we're talking about, right? Giving Jesus. That's evangelism. That is sharing Jesus Christ with others. It isn't just about saving those who need saving. It is about that. But it's not just about that. It's also about reminding ourselves that the kingdom matters. That the Bible is trustworthy. And that Jesus Christ changes everything. You see, that's what it's all about. In fact, the Bible puts it like this, Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Live wisely among those who are not believers. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So what does it mean? That gift that we talk about, the gift that we talk about, Jesus Christ, what does it mean for us to give Jesus? Well, I'm going to start by telling you what it doesn't mean. You could call it evangelism, but for the sake of my sermon and my sermon series, I'm going to call it giving Jesus. Giving Jesus is not the following things. And this is good news for those of us who may be concerned about it. First of all, giving Jesus is not having an acute knowledge of theology. I went to Bible college, Barton University. I have a Bible degree. I have a master's as well from Faulkner University. I serve on the board at Faulkner University. I love Faulkner University. But I want you to know that I learned the Bible. But evangelism came outside those walls. Yes, I was able to learn the Bible. But I learned evangelism by observing, by being around, by listening to others. It's not about having this remarkable theological mind. That's not what giving Jesus necessarily is. Giving Jesus is not being super bold about faith issues. Now, don't get me wrong. If I have Jesus, I'm going to be bold, right? But it's not just about being outspoken about everything out there. Giving Jesus is not just reserved for only certain Christians. Think about that. It doesn't say in the Bible, you are going to be an evangelist, just the hired evangelist of the church. It doesn't say that the elders are the only ones to be evangelistic. No, we are all called to be ministers. Giving Jesus is not just, please hear this, bringing people to church. Oh yeah, that's part of it. Don't get me wrong. We all should have that goal. But there's more to it than just bringing them to church. Giving Jesus is not just being extremely educated and extraordinary. In fact, when you look at who Jesus went to, He went to those who weren't very educated. He went to those who were very ordinary. In other words, Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. Just like we shouldn't give Jesus to only those that we consider the proper people to receive Him. Acts 4 verse 13, I love this. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. At the end of the day, church, I don't care what we accomplish. If somebody doesn't know for sure and they can't say about us that this person has been with Jesus, everything in our life has been a failure. You see, it's about accepting that gift in our life, but not keeping it to ourselves. It's about sharing it with as many people as I can. When Michelle was pregnant with Beau, our first child, And I know the media has done this, and I'm certainly not knocking any of y'all. We've had people do this at our church, and I don't want to thank you. I'm talking about you. But we didn't have gender reveals. We didn't have all that. We did have a cell phone. And I picked that thing up, and I started calling people. I started calling, yeah, Michelle's pregnant, you know, and I started telling people, and man, there were tears, and there were everything, and we were so excited. Why? Because it was great news. I couldn't wait to share it with other people. The best news of all. The best news of all is the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Why am I keeping it to myself? Why would I not share that with others? What if we saw giving Jesus today as moving someone, helping someone get one step closer? What if we looked at evangelism as not that I've got to get this person and teach this person and baptize this person, even though that's our goal, right? And teach this person again. What if I saw it as, hey, I'm going to plant a seed and allow this person to get one step closer? It doesn't look so big then, does it? It doesn't look so hard, so challenging. You see, evangelism, giving Jesus, giving that free gift to others, it's sharing your story of how Jesus has impacted your life. It's sharing that story with someone. Giving Jesus it's inviting someone into your life and having a conversation with them about how Jesus has changed your life. Giving Jesus, the church in Thessalonica understood this. They said, "We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our whole lives as well." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Giving Jesus is bringing people to church to hear about Jesus is one way. But it's also bringing the church to the people and spreading the hope of Christ with the world. Don't get me wrong, we want to bring people here. But we want to bring here to the people. And that's what giving Jesus is. So today, as I don't just give you your atypical lesson on giving and sharing Jesus and evangelism, I want to challenge us this morning to think of it as getting people one step closer. One step closer to taking that gift and opening Him up and immersing their lives into His. I want to give you several ways. Number one, if I'm truly going to give Jesus to others, and I know that print is kind of small, but it's a long title. So, we must have more conversations and fewer confrontations. We must have more conversations and fewer confrontations. Now, hear me out on this. If we are truly going to tackle evangelism, if we truly are going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, we cannot go into it with a mindset of, I'm going to be against everybody out there. We must have the mindset that we are going to not build walls, we're going to build bridges. And if I build a bridge to someone's soul by sharing my life with them that the church at Thessalonica did, then I can share the gospel with them and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When I first went to Mobile Christian, I'll tell you a personal story. I went there looking for confrontation. I didn't realize it at the time, but when I was a teacher there, I went there like I was in Dodge City in the wild, wild west, and I was out in the streets, and I got my gospel gun, and I'm going to fire at everyone who is against me. And man, I noticed walls went up, walls went up, walls went up. But then somewhere along the way, I thought, it's got to be about building a bridge, not a wall. And once I started doing that, I didn't even have to tell them and explain to them in detail baptism anymore. You know why? Because they wanted to be a part of it. They wanted Jesus Christ because it quit being about confrontation and about conversation. Folks, I'm not here to say we shouldn't stand for the truth. In fact, you will never hear me say that. We must always stand for the truth. We have the truth in this book, but we have got to make sure that we are not always looking for a fight with someone if we're going to share Jesus with others. You see, this is a gift. Salvation is a gift, and it's something we should love to give. Jesus had a lot of conversation. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights. Bill's been talking about that. Jimmy's been talking about that in the fellowship hall. We've had a lot of conversations that we can look at. Jesus in John 4 had a conversation with a very confrontational race. You remember the Samaritan woman. Jews and Samaritans did not care for each other. There was a lot of confrontation. There was a lot of butting of heads. But Jesus Christ, the radical one, right? He came to tear down walls and to build bridges. And so what did he do? He went and he had a conversation. Now, he confronted her, but he did it through a conversation. Zacchaeus was a despised tax collector. People didn't want anything to do with him. Not only that, he was a little guy and he might have had small man syndrome. I don't know. But people didn't really want to be around him. But he heard that Jesus was coming, and Jesus, noticing Zacchaeus and understanding Zacchaeus was up there and that he was an outcast, he knew that Zacchaeus needed to change, but he had a conversation with him. What did Zacchaeus do? He changed his ways. How about his disciples? Maybe perhaps some guys that were a little rough around the edges. Fishermen by trade, some of them, right? Peter, we know, had a temper on him and didn't always make good decisions with his mouth. Jesus started with a conversation and he changed their lives. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, he's a wise man, a Pharisee, a teacher. Jesus didn't just come out and say, "You're a whitewashed tomb," like he did on other occasions. He gave them plenty of chances too, by the way. He had a conversation. How about the rich young ruler? A rich young ruler who Jesus loved, according to Mark. Mark chapter 10. He knew this rich young ruler lacked one thing, but he did it through a conversation. You see, when we befriend, when we are kind, when we are compassionate, when we have the mindset of Christ, certainly there comes a time when we've got to draw a line in the sand. But it's so much easier to talk about that line if we've torn down the wall. Number two this morning. If I truly want to give Jesus, then I must understand that being an inviting person is oftentimes more important than being a convincing person. You see, being inviting is a good thing. And when we are inviting, it's really being hospitable. It's really being kind. It's really being friendly to those who we are around. And let me tell you, there are some folks that would not make that very easy. They make it very challenging. And maybe this time of year you've experienced some of those challenges. Being convincing is also a good thing. People have got to know that we are convicted. We are convinced. But we can do both. We can be inviting and we can be convincing if we will allow Jesus to direct our steps and light our path. And I think that perfect illustration, I go back to Mark 10 again. In Mark 10, Jesus was inviting, right? The rich young ruler knew that he could go up to Jesus Christ and he could talk to him. He bowed down. At the end of the day, he was also very convincing because the rich young man did not want to give up all his possessions. He did go away sorrowful. But Jesus was able to take inviting. And what I mean by inviting is people want to approach us. We do not put up a defense mechanism all the time. But Jesus was also very convincing, very convicted in His beliefs. And we can do both, church, and we should do both if we truly allow Jesus Christ to harmonize in our lives. Thirdly, this morning, got several points, so we'll get through some of these pretty quick. If I'm truly going to give Jesus and be an evangelistic person, then I've got to understand that passion is the key to a message worth listening to. People got to know you care. People have to know that you love them. People cannot inspire others until they are inspired themselves. Okay, please hear me out on this. You can't share Jesus until you open Jesus into your life, right? Once I hear the Word, I believe the Word, I repent of my sins, I confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and I walk and I'm immersed into Christ, baptized into Him, contacting His blood, having Him wash away my sins, that's not the end. That's where life really begins. It begins a new life, right? A life where I'm resurrected with Him. And now what do I do with this life? Well, I go about my business. Well, that will happen too. I mean, life will still go on. Work will still happen. School will still happen. Whatever, life will still happen, right? But it changes my mindset. You see, now I've got a new passion. I've got a new identity. What's your passion today? I think we can have quite a few passions. I really do. But what's number one? I can't answer that for you. But here's some things that I want you to know. From time to time, I will examine my life. I'll have self-reflection. And I'll either like where I'm at or not like where I'm at. And so what I want you to understand is we need to all do that. We need to examine, do I like where I'm at? Is my passion, has it started consuming me and that passion's more or not Jesus Christ? Is your passion the church today? Is your passion giving Jesus to others today? Or is your passion something else? You see, a genuine passion for Jesus, for who He is and what He stands for, it's critical. Critical when sharing it with others. Isn't that what Luke 10 is all about, the story of the Good Samaritan? It's a story about passion. It's a story about compassion. It's a story, again, about Jews versus Samaritans, where Jesus was tearing down those walls. When the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, it was the Samaritan who helped. Because he had a passion for helping, for serving. If I am going to be an effective Jesus giver, then I must have a passion so that others will want to hear the message. Number four, if you're keeping count this morning. If I'm going to be an effective soul winner, if I'm going to be an effective Jesus giver, then I must live a lifestyle of generosity. Isn't that what we're talking about, giving? We're talking about giving self first week, giving of our resources second week, giving of our time the third week, and giving of Jesus Christ this week. All of this is wrapped up in a series of lessons entitled Focused on giving. I must be a generous person, not just once a year, not just once a week, all the time. And I'm not talking about just open your bank account. I'm talking about all those things together. If I combine all those things, because first I gave myself to Jesus Christ, then I truly will be an effective soul winner. You see, here's because, number one, Jesus met needs. Think about it. The people that He was the most effective with are the ones that we see, okay? He did a lot of great things, but the great things that we see in the Gospels, what did He do? In large part, He met needs. Some of those needs were physical. We don't have that gift, right? I can't go and make lame people walk and blind people see and dead people come up out of the grave, and you can't either. I've got some people on my list that I'd already do that to if I could, wouldn't you? We don't have that gift. But Jesus did. Jesus could physically meet people's needs, and certainly that was very generous. But Jesus also met people's needs when it came to hunger. When it came to taking care of them. When it came to loving them. You see, and that always led to a spiritual gift of opportunity. Generosity shows that you and I live what we believe. People are observing us. And I know people are judging us too, and that's wrong. We know that. But again, they're not part of Jesus. But there are people observing us and judging us all the time. But the best sermons aren't spoken oftentimes. They're displayed. They're portrayed. They're given by showing a life of generosity. You see, saying we're a Christian is one thing. We can say we're a Christian. But living it authentically on a daily basis is what is really attractive to those who need Jesus Christ. Number five this morning, we've got two more. If I'm truly going to be able to effectively give Jesus Christ, then we must choose integrity in all circumstances. Choose integrity. We can never compromise our conviction. You hear me? We can do it without a confrontation. But we never compromise our conviction. If we compromise our conviction, guess who we're like? The rest of the world. You see, we've got the truth. We have the written Word of God. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. We have tapped into the power. And this power has convicted us. And we must be a people of conviction. If we give up our conviction, we've certainly lost an opportunity to give Jesus Christ in an effective way. We must always be honest people. We must always be truth seekers and truth givers. Why? All of this leads to credibility. It leads to credibility with others. Jesus spoke truth. Jesus lived truth, and He never took a vacation from it. He always lived the truth. He always spoke the truth. Jesus rendered to Caesar what was properly Caesar's. But Jesus always rendered to God what was properly God's. People see through fake. They see through it. They're not interested in a window dressing. You know, you look up in those windows or you look through the windows and you go through a storefront or whatever, and they've got the perfect build mannequin, right? And that shirt and that those pants or whatever, they just make it look just perfect on that. Well, see, that's not real. That's not real in everybody's life. People can see through that with us. They can see through if we're fake. They can understand if we are hypocritical. We've got to be real people of integrity if we're going to be effective in giving Jesus to others. So it leads us to one final point this morning, and I just want to recap for you. Here they are again, if you were keeping notes. Number one, we must have more conversations and fewer confrontations. Number two, being an inviting person is oftentimes more important than being a convincing person. Number three, passion is the key to a message worth listening to. Number four, we must live a lifestyle of generosity. Number five, we must choose integrity in all circumstances. Finally, this morning, if I'm truly going to be an effective soul winner, if I'm truly going to be able to give the gift of Jesus Christ, then I must model forgiveness. I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let Jesus in. Terry's going to hush now, and we're going to close this lesson with the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Mark 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Matthew 18, 21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. The ability to forgive quickly and to forgive often is one of the most powerful ways to show how Christianity really works. So as we close this morning, I just want to ask you a simple question. What have you done with the gift? First of all, have you opened the gift, the free gift of God? Have you immersed your life into the gift? There are going to be some children on Christmas Day going to forget where they are for a little bit. They're going to allow their imagination to go off into whatever toy and whatever gift they give. They're going to immerse themselves in that. You see, that's how we have to immerse ourselves, not just for a little bit, but for all time, into Jesus Christ. We've got to get away from the world and allow Him to take over our life. What have you done with the gift? Say you've done that. The question then now is, what have you done with the gift? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Are we giving it to others? Today, if you haven't opened the gift, if you haven't accepted the free gift of God, change your life today. Allow Him to change it. If you're here today and you've just quit giving Him, it's time to change it. It's time to start back. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.